Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue with our discussion of the Word of God. We are grateful to be able to come and fellowship and to study God's Word and to know what to do in the seasons that we're in today. This is where the Word of God is critical. It's not enough just to read it and study it, but it has to be applied. It has to be there has to be a transformation in the life of the Christian. And so in order for God to get his will accomplished, he can do whatever, but if we're the body of Christ in the earth, and if we've been called and Christ said the works that he's done, that we will do greater simply because, not because of the quality of the work, but it's because there is more of us, amen, and more people will be transformed and changed with the Spirit of God in them to accomplish more because he was one person. So the Word of God is able to reach. And so God called the church to be salt and light. And not only did he call us to be salt and light in this darkened world, we're reminded that the world system is controlled by Satan. So remember that everything about the world system, I mean everything from when we say everything, we're talking about who owns it, who controls it. Who, we're not saying that everybody in it is wrong, but the platforms, the people that reach the masses, whether it's on the social media, the TV, the television, whatever it is, the Hollywood, they reach people, and their influence touch the minds of people. And so God has to, by his Spirit, break that, because there are a lot of people in bondage. All of us, you know, even the religious world system is controlled by Satan. So in the Bible, there was always the true church and there was the apostate church. And we want to, this is why when you look at the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. That means that only half followed the full will of God. Lended themselves over totally so that God, the Holy Spirit, could direct their lives. And so in this lesson tonight, we want to continue to show that Christ has called us to be his captive servants. In other words, we are in, when Christ saves us, we're not, our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. So in essence, we just switch partners. You can be what? A servant of Satan or a servant of Christ. You can only be in one of two places. And we can be servants of Satan even as a Christian. So as a Christian, I can be in the flesh or looking at things from a carnal perspective. And this gives Satan an avenue, or gives him, sin gives him a license to have access to us. This is a warfare and a battle of souls. And so what happens is the light of the gospel penetrates hearts of men and women and transforms them and makes them soldiers in God's army. Or if you remain in darkness, unchanged, untouched by God's Spirit, you will continue to be used by the enemy or Satan, or become a servant of Satan to do and accomplish his will. Amen? So there's a battle that the Spirit of God, this is why he's called us to be light in darkness, to be salt, to stand up for what's right when it's not favorable, to preach the truth of the gospel. See, we can't look at things as we see them, or from a perspective of this is tradition and upbringing and the way or that we were brought up in man's philosophies and man's religion and intellectualism, all that stuff. We have to lay everything down. And so what it means to become a child of a Christian, it means that we lay our lives down and allow him. Remember, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things are being passed away, and we are becoming new. Yes. So the proper perspective of a servant of God, it has to be the perspective of God. It has to be, we have to look at everything from his perspective, and we have to maintain that perspective in everything that we do and say. Amen. So it says that the, and I just want to read this little part, it says the proper perspective to maintain is that we are here for only one purpose, to be captives marching in the procession of Christ's triumphs. Now, last week, we read that in the scripture in 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so the whole purpose of Christ being manifested was to destroy the works of Satan. And we're going to go there tonight. But before we get there, let's go to John 16 where we left off, because the church has been called to walk in his triumph. The only way I can triumph where Christ triumphed, or I can walk in his procession of triumphs. What happened during the time of the Greeks or the Romans, when they would defeat somebody, they would drag them on their chariot or behind their chariots and show the world or show people in the stadiums that they defeated their enemy. And that person that they defeated had to march behind that chariot in the procession. They are now the captives of their enemy. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
That same analogy is to be used with us in our lives to Jesus Christ. We are here to exhibit only one thing, the captivity of our lives to the obedience of Christ, meaning that God has to come and take every thought, every mind, every way, every will that's outside of his will, and it has to fall in his procession. In order for me to triumph where Christ triumphed in the earth, I cannot stand against ungodliness if I'm not marching. My life is not held in captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Areas of my life that has not submitted to or been captive, held captive to the way of Jesus Christ, or I'm walking in obedience to him, it will cause me to forfeit victory. Remember, his purpose in coming was to destroy the works of Satan. So whatever works that took place in my life before salvation, those things have to be destroyed in me. So every way, every perspective, I have to be willing to lay it. That my part is to present myself. So let's go to John 16, and we see what Christ says. He didn't come to change the world. He said, in the world, you're going to have some tribulation.
Yes.
He didn't come here saying, he came to change us, and we, in effect, changed the world. That makes sense?
Amen, yes.
All right, so in John 16, let's start. We read this last week, but I want us to see where, let's start at verse 31. Let's start at 31.
Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me."
All right, let's stop right there. So last week we read how the disciples were talking with Christ, and Christ explained how some scriptures, and they said we see it plainly, we understand. And he's like, "Do you now believe? Are you just now believing?" And he's at the end of his ministry, pretty much about to be crucified. But he said, "Behold, the hour comes. Yes, is now come." It was just hours away, the crucifixion, "that you will be scattered, every man to his own." So this is what happens. See, it's easy to agree with the word when everything is fine, when all our hopes and aspirations have been met, when everything appeared to be going the way we want it. But Christ says the hour comes, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, and every man will go to his own. Meaning, it says that proclaims their faith weakening as to its power, but not its essential quality. So they didn't lose their salvation. They were saved. But the power of God manifesting in their life, because their faith had been shifted because of what Christ went through, and he didn't meet their expectations. See, their aspirations were shattered. And so because Christ didn't meet the expectations that they had, the hope that they had, and it wasn't in line with the will of God, they scattered. So the power of God could not show up. That's why he says, "For without faith in Christ and him crucified, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So the power was weakened because they shifted their focus. Christ, in essence, his quality and nature never changed. He was still almighty. He was still powerful. He was still the Son of God, the Son of Man. You see that? The quality of their faith didn't change, but it was the power of faith had changed. It started weakening. This is where a lot of Christians are today. Our faith, we're saved, but remember, he said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, but it's all according to the power that's working. See that? So if the power in you is not working, it's because your faith is weakened. What has caused you to scatter from from having your focus in the cross to your own desires? See that? We can't come up with our own opinions and our own desire and go with the way of the world.
Amen.
In every aspect of life and living, we have to exhibit faith in Calvary. Meaning, I don't change my views. I don't change my focus and everything when men revile me and come against me and disagree with me. I have to stand on the truth of God's word, whether I stand or stand alone. Because you're really not standing alone. You got the whole army of God backing you. So Christ says, and you shall leave me alone. So because of their faith not being in Christ fully, it weakened. The power of faith weakened. Because the object of your faith is only as good as the object you place it in. So when stuff happens and it messes with your view of how things should be or whatever, are you going to leave the word of God and go to your own understanding? Are you going to trust in men and people and culture and tradition? Or are you going to stay with Christ? So it says in the notes, proclaims exactly what it says. At the end, he was alone. But look what Christ said, and yet I am not alone. Every believer that stands on truth and walk in truth in this world system of darkness is supposed to hold back darkness, confront darkness, because darkness will, when light comes on, the darkness dispels, it flees, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if we all just sit back and never call out error and wrongdoing in the world system, and we just sit back and become passive Christians and don't respond and move and make it feel like it's okay, then darkness continues to expand in the earth. So now the reason the world is in the state it's in is not because of the world. It's because the church refused to stand on truth. It's because the church was rocked to sleep by error. Y'all see this? Because Christ came in the world, he said, while it is day, I must do the work of the Father. I must work the works while it is day. For night comes when no man can work. So there's going to come a time in our lives where we're not able to work. We're going to be taken out. We're going to be removed, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it behooves us to stand with Christ, even though it seems like you're alone. You're not alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. It says the Father will be with him every moment, with the exception of the 3 hours between 12 noon and 3 p.m. when he was on the cross bearing the penalty. So because he took the sin of the world, and I see people talking about, well, how could a God become a human sacrifice? Isn't human sacrifice? They have no clue. They don't even understand the penalty of sin. Their sin was upon him.
Amen.
See that? And so he was bearing the penalty of our sin. And because God is holy, just, and right, he could not look upon Christ. So he had to leave him alone those 3 hours between 12 and 3 p.m., 12 noon and 3 p.m., because his back was turned against the sin of the world placed on him.
Amen.
And let's keep going, verse 33.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Now notice, it doesn't take Christ by surprise of the corruption of the human heart that's in the world. But what took him by surprise was that the church scattered. The disciples scattered. He was more concerned, they're going to come and they're going to take me and I'm going to die on the cross, and you shall be scattered, everyone to his own. But that never changed the purpose of God. You see this? You can either be used in the plan and purpose of God, or you can scatter.
Amen.
See this? And if you scatter, you will never experience the overcoming life, the victory, the power that God has to overcome these things in this world. Some of these things going on in this world should not be. Some of these laws that have been created in the world should not be. Because had we stood up as a church or as people stand on the word of God, then the world would have backed off.
Mm-hmm.
See,
amen.
And so because we're not standing for truth and righteousness, laws are put in place. Laws are enforced. Laws are changed.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy comes in, bring in through people, through men. Remember, these men and women that's brought in, they are for an agenda that's contrary to truth. And you and I are supposed to stand. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? O king, we cannot bow to your statue or whatever it was, your image. And although they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they trusted God even unto death. This is what God wants. He wants a person whose life is so in his hands that they trust him even in death.
Amen.
They trust him even when the world, even when friends and people turn and ridicule you. See, what happens in the world system, there's a thing where the pressure. See, we all want to fit in and we all want to get along and we don't want people to ridicule us. This pressure is in the church. And so everybody goes with the flow. Everybody stands and say the same thing. And what God is saying, no, narrow is the way. And if the way is narrow, that means all our excess baggages, all of our views, all of our precepts and concepts and perspectives have to be dropped at the door. And so a heart that's willing to let go of everything they learn and say, Lord, I pick up your will. I pick up the way I'm looking at things from your view. I'm willing to let this go. He said, you're in the world, and because you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And it says it concerns the fundamental condition of divine life in this world. So if the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and you are allowing him to put to death some things and give you life and living and the power of God to live in a world where you're ridiculed. It says the world is totally opposed because its system is solely of Satan. Everything about the world system is based upon Satan and his desires. Y'all understand that?
Amen.
So we're in the world, and in this world, we're going to have tribulation. So how in the world can we be of good cheer in a world that's filled with tribulation? Yes, ma'am.
Because we got Jesus.
And because I got Jesus, how am I supposed to stand up for what's right in this world? How do I apply that?
Because he died on that cross for my sin, and I'm in him, and he's in me. So when I'm standing on the truth, I'm not standing alone. He's with me.
So what happened when the world tells you, if you side with the Bible, you're gonna lose your job?
It's gone.
No.
What happens when? Go ahead.
No, it's easy to say it. But if you're in Christ, it's not easy to say, but when you're in Christ and you know that God going to make a way for you to get another job, then you could say, I live for Christ. For Christ I live, and for Christ I die.
Right. But like we said, go ahead. Uh-huh.
If that takes place, well, all you got to do is stand on the word. you know, God's word is true. He's not a God that lies.
Mm-hmm.
So if I read this word, I know it's true, and I know God's going to make a way for me. So all I have to do is step out on faith
mm-hmm.
and know that God's going to do it for me.
Right. So when Noah was building that boat.
Well, I would hope, based on the scenario you gave,
uh-huh.
I would really hope that if I come to a point where, what would I do? Would I stand on the word or would I lose my job?
Mm-hmm.
I prayerfully hope that I will have enough faith to stand on the word. I won't know that really.
Until you go through it.
I know it now because I'm not having to do it.
Right.
But I can't tell you honestly if that come up.
And most people will, because it's going to come in a form. I'm saying it one way, and it sounds easy, but it'll come in a form where you're pressured, where you got
busy, right.
where you got children and mouths to feed, and they tell you, that, you know, man, you can't do this and do that no more because blah. And it's going to be, and God knows what situation it is. I'm just using that as an example, but He knows
right.
what situations. That we need to be put in to get what He wants out of it. So, like you said, if Noah, He tells them to go build this boat, and the world's laughing, and they ain't had no rain.
Right.
And everybody said,
right.
look at him, he's crazy.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
the
Amen.
Pressure from the world and your family, I'm sure his family were like, you know what, you heard from God to do what? And take all these animals? Because he had to have their help.
mm-hmm. yeah.
So the drive to continue to do it, despite what everybody said, because there's a lot of pressure in this world today. And if you're not with the crowd, they will ridicule you. And a lot of people, it's very hard to stand up unless you know who you are in Christ.
Amen.
And I've had that. I've had not the job situation, but you wouldn't think it was much. But when I had to stand on it, I mean that really was like, oh my God,
right?
I'm going to stand on this, but it was not the easiest. But standing for what was it for me for the faith, it was growing my faith. But at the same time, it was growing me up to stand on this word, and it hurt.
Right.
Because you don't, you know, the think of what people might think of you, or if you try to tell them what you stand for, the ridicule, you know.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, but I'm going to stand.
Right.
I'm not going to stand and speak out as loud as I made when I grow even more, but I stood.
Right.
And, you know, that was just something that happened recently.
Wow.
But. It's something. It's easier. I felt real safe when I was at my house and didn't deal with a lot of people.
Right.
Didn't feel that safe when I had to get amongst people.
Right. And it's a real pressure.
On the word.
It is a real pressure. When you have to, you in church and you see and you read in the word and you know that what's being put out, and I'm just using that as an example, is not right, but everybody else in church is saying it's right. And you,
right.
are you going to go with the flow? And everybody look at you and say, you letting the devil use you? So it is a real pressure. And that's why when Christ says, you left, you know, he said, y'all going to scatter. And everybody going to go to their own. They went back to their fishing business. They act like they ain't walked with Christ. They ain't heard about Christ. They went back to doing what they knew because what? It was too much. They saw that this man who rattled the Pharisees, who put them to open shame and rebuke, was then killed by them. Oh, no. That's going to interfere. That's too much. And I stand a chance of being killed. They told him, don't preach in this man's name. If you do, you'll be killed. And they said, we can't do that. We have to do what God tells us. It's better for us to obey God than man. And we cannot do this in our strength. This is what the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
In our strength, we can't do it. And you have a lot of people that try to do it in their strength and some things. But in our strength, this is what he's saying. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But if your faith is in the cross of Christ and you are not swayed in your conviction, you keep your faith and your focus in the right object, the power of God will come into your life in a way that causes you to have a confidence in God.
Yes.
See this? There you go. It's a confidence you get in God whereby you're able to stand after having done all. Do what? Stand.
Stand.
But I can't go stand, and I ain't been died to self. I ain't been crucified with Christ. I have not decreased for his purpose. You see that? So he says, this is why we're able to be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. Now his power is manifested through me.
Amen.
So now let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about this captive life, and this is what we want. We want the power of God manifested in our lives here on earth. We want to overcome this world system, right? But the only way to overcome this world system, everything, this is why he says, love the Lord God with all your heart. And all your soul, and all your mind and spirit, right? And all your strength or what have you. But I can't be of good cheer if that's not yielded to him in entirely. So in Colossians 2, let me get there right quick.
Well, how can you explain to someone, how can you explain to someone who really they have a problem with understanding how to surrender?
Okay.
It's easy. You say surrender. Well, not you. I'm not saying you, but
I got you.
Generally speaking, when somebody says surrender, how would someone? How do you tell someone? Well, you say you got to die to self and. But I believe a lot of people really have a problem with understanding that.
Yes.
Okay. In Colossians 2, let's start at verse 6 and see if that can answer that in some way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Colossians 2, verse 6.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Okay, so the first thing, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, it's talking about the manner of one's salvation, which is Christ Him crucified. How did they first receive him? Was the cross of Christ explained as far as justification, sanctification? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? So if they properly understand, because a lot of people receive Christ, but then after that they think that they have this belief system that God, you got saved for God to just make everything go happy, go lucky, everything going your way, blah, 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 blah. They don't understand that now that I received him, what happened? That now I'm crucified with him. I'm dead. I'm supposed to be. Understand that when he died, I died. This is how I now have to identify with him. I have to leave that system that I was brought up in, and now I'm devoted to him. So that means that we're talking about this captive life and talking about walking in his procession. So that means everything about me has to now, I have to change my manner of living by the Spirit, because if the object of faith is not right, then you will not be given the power. The first thing the Spirit does is mortify the deeds of the flesh. If I don't understand that, I'm going to try to live for God according to the flesh.
Right.
Although I won't think it's the flesh, because there's a lot of Christians that use their own will, their own desire, their own mind, their own efforts. They're sincere, but they've never been taught. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk. What? Order your manner of living, your behavior is to be ordered in the sphere of Christ and him crucified. So not not being explained that and understanding what that means as far as, you know, now that I'm justified, my life now has to be consecrated and dedicated to walking, ordering my behavior, letting the Spirit of God, if there's anger that rises up in me through a circumstance and an attitude, guess what? That's an area of your life that's not been held, brought into captivity to Christ's way. See, the circumstances, if stuff rises up in us and we feel some kind of way about people and about, remember the Bible said, love your enemies, do good to them. So if I'm feeling a certain way about people and things and circumstances, that's something in us that's not been made captive to the way of Jesus Christ. And so now my so walk ye in him, that means my everyday living at home with my spouse, with my children, on my job, all my outlook, my perspective. To see if I thought a certain way when I was unsaved and I'm still beholden to that way as a Christian, that means that has not become captive to Jesus Christ. Remember Joshua. Joshua was ready to go take down Jericho. He like, hey, Lord, hey, are you for us or our enemy? And he says, no. But as the commander, the army of the Lord, take off your shoes. See, he wanted Joshua's life to be captive, to be held in captivity to God's way and walk in his procession. See, so God, it wasn't Joshua's victories. It was going to be God's victory. That's why he was the commander and the commander in chief, the army of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Joshua had to get in line with his way. So that means whatever views, it didn't matter what kind of views it was, whatever he sided with, he had to learn how to see everything according to God's way. So now Jericho, instead of seeing Jericho just as his enemy and he's just going to go in and bum rush and take him out, God said, no, I got Rahab and some folks in a house with a scarlet rope hanging. And it might be a few others. So you're not going to do like I told Moses about Canaan and just destroy them all.
Hello?
Praise God.
Huh?
She'll be back in a minute.
Oh, no.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, I don't know why that happened. I think sometimes we mistakenly hit buttons on the phone and it comes up. But anyway, God wanted to go into Jericho and he wanted Joshua to go in his way. And it's the same way today. I don't care how we view the people in Jericho. I don't care what we think. It has to be God's way. He has to be Lord over our lives in every aspect and living. So if he is, then I will go in and wait for the Lord's way.
Mm-hmm.
See things from his perspective.
Amen.
Because if you're not seeing from his perspective, you can be siding with the enemy. And you can go in and slaughter that which God desired to save. Didn't Paul do it?
Amen.
What did Paul say last
Amen.
Time? He said he went against the way. He was going
Amen.
Against the way of God. And this is why you and I have to learn to be crucified daily, meaning that my passions, my desires, my views, my perspective, everything has to be submitted to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the enemy, remember, sin, and sin is simply unbelief. So when the disciples scattered, they were in a state of unbelief. Unbelief is disobedience. That's what it means. The two words mean the same. Disobedience is unbelief. So in the Greek, the word the unbelief is the same as disobedience, right? So because they refused to believe God's word, they scattered. They were not made captives. They didn't walk in God's procession. Didn't mean they weren't saved. It meant that their faith was weak. And so the power of their faith couldn't be produced in their lives at that time because they were not walking by faith. They were walking by sight. See that? And it's the same thing today. What happens in this world, if you see, God said he reveals things to the prophets. He revealed them to his prophet. Then he told him he revealed things to the sons of Issachar in 2 Chronicles 12 so the people of that nation would know what to do. So things are not what they appear. If you're walking and you're looking at things based upon what they seem to be, you're not going to see things from the eyes of the Spirit. And a lot of things God has done for a reason, but you and I have to get the mind of God. And sometimes God relay those things through his prophets to let us see and give us insight as to what's going on so that you and I won't be fearful nor shaken in mind nor spirit. And so this is why he says we have to have the proper perspective. We have to see things according to the Spirit, because if Daniel would have stopped praying and gave up, he would have never saw that the angels were fighting demonic spirits 21 days. And Gabriel, he was trying to keep them off. What was happening? There was a shift of nations. There was a shift. See, that's why I said everything happens spiritually. What we see manifesting in the earth is something that took place in the spirit realm. And what Daniel saw, it wasn't ready to take place till years later. See, God is not in, he doesn't deal in the realm of time as we see it. But God gave him insight as to what was happening. And so when he saw, the angel came and said, listen, God answered your prayers when you first sent them up. This is why you and I can't just give up on prayer. And this is why we have to have prayer according to his will, according to his way. We can't force God's will. See, what it is, we have to pray God's will. And then we can't make God fit our will. Because there's a lot of things behind what's going on in people's lives and in our lives, and we have to have the right perspective. So if my life is in captivity and walking in his procession, I will learn to, and I walk in obedience to him, I'll learn to see things the way he sees them. And this is what Joshua had to do. Take the shoes off your feet, because the shoes on your feet means that you're walking in your own authority. You're not dependent on him. So there can be nothing between the solid ground, the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, but your obedience and you standing on the rock of your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So here we see, let me go back to the scriptures where we were at. So Cynthia, did I answer your question with that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. So he says, so walk ye in him. How? Rooted. So just because I accept Christ and I go to church, that does not mean I'm being rooted. I have to continue to get the proper teaching. I have to be on the verbal ministry, one of the fivefold ministry. And it doesn't mean you have to be under it, like under it. You know how we say the right hand of fellowship and you got to be a member or something. It means you need to be under a teaching. You need to hear a teaching that explains it. And so rooted and built up in him. You got to have that foundation built up, and you got to become established in what? Church?
In the word.
In the faith. You see that? Verse 7. I'm sorry, I kind of went ahead. But the same thing. Christ, in the beginning was the word was with God, it was God, and the word became flesh. So faith in the word, which is faith in Christ and him crucified. As you have been taught. See, you got to be taught.
Right.
Can't just get saved and I'm just going to read my Bible. And no, I mean, reading your Bible is good, but you got to be taught the right way.
Amen. Amen.
And it has to be centered around Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Now, let's jump to verse 8.
I, you know, this is the first teaching that someone has talked about the cross as much as it is on this line, or explain for me, because this is how, you know, I was introduced to, you know, how you teach with about the cross, but you don't hear a lot about the cross,
right? You don't.
Or how to connect,
exactly.
You know, how to connect this teaching with the cross, or how not to even leave the cross.
Right.
Because I was, you know, under some teaching where, you know, you got to go past the cross.
Uh-huh. I remember that teaching.
And when you start talking about the cross, and I start meditating on what you were saying, I'm like, how do we lead a cross? The very reason why we're living is because of the cross.
Amen. Amen.
And what Christ did on at the cross.
That's
the
right.
Finished
Amen.
Work. So I don't know. I'm like, there's so much. He's preparing a remnant of teachers
right.
that's going to go forth and teach, I believe, in this time Amen. And in this season.
Amen. And you can see that some people, they may not have the platforms as, you know, the big platforms, but God is raising up the Davids because David didn't start. David was kicked out of the church, out of Jerusalem. Saul kicked him out, and he went to the cave of Adullam. And everybody that was disgusted, everybody that was disappointed, they all met with him. And David was a type of Christ. Christ didn't have many
mm-hmm.
followers. I mean, he didn't. Initially, he did. But by the time he went to the cross, we saw, what did he say? Y'all, the 12, y'all going to scatter. So the cross, embracing it, I'm getting a little feedback, but embracing the cross, it means that Paul said, I count everything as dung. Why? Just to gain Christ.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
And guess how it says, as you have been taught in verse 7, established, rooted, and established in the faith as you have been taught, what? Abounding.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hearing feedback a little bit? Abounding therein, what? With thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So abounding means you have to increase in it. It doesn't mean that I got it today and I can just say the cross, the cross, the cross.
Right.
It means that we have to continue to grow in it.
Yes.
And with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. So it says this refers to the fact that the cross of Christ, which had brought them to Christ, had also brought them untold benefits. See this? This is why Christ said, be of good cheer. Yeah, are y'all hearing feedback?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see something here. Let me see.
I'm on and off mute. I only come off when I'm speaking, so I
okay.
hear it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll hear it now, so we'll see. So the cross of Christ, we have to abound in it, and we have to have thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
And notice here, Cynthia, y'all hit on it earlier. Verse 8.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Now, notice here, beware of who? Man. Any man, right?
Man.
Beware lest any man spoil you. Here's the problem. Remember I said that there's like a battle for the souls or the mind, but the thing with God is he's never going to force his will. He waits for you. And now in waiting, you may be 100 years old and never accomplish the will of God. But Satan is a taskmaster. He's going to force his will, okay? So these men whom Satan lure into his to do his bidding have been offered all the things we saw in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, I think it was, where he said, I'll give you all these things. If you do what? Bow down and worship. There are a lot of people in this world system that has bowed down to a system, to the system. They bow to the system, and they're being used by the system, what? To spoil you and I, to pull us away from the cross of Christ. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit. It says anything that pulls the believer away from the cross is not of God. See that? Through philosophy and vain deceit, meaning that it's useless deceit, deception. You can be easily manipulated. Satan will present himself as an angel of light. If you're not crucified, you won't be able to see past the spirit of the man or the woman. So they spoil you by flattery, whether it's in church or outside of church. They spoil you through charisma.
Mm-hmm.
They have this this charisma and this thing about them. You know, people get caught up today. You know, and I heard a preacher say this. They said, you know, everybody want to be like 50 Cent. Everybody want to be like 2 Cent. Everybody want to be like, you know, notice these rappers, they don't never use their name. They always use something that's just, you know, they. And I heard them say they don't know who they are, and there we go trying to be like them. They never use their names. They use this made-up name so they can get people to find. And the young people just flock to them. And, then, you know, yeah. They have the sagging pants, and mm-hmm. the young people want to sag their pants. These are influencers. These are people that come on TV, sports, and all these things, and they get you to buy their merchandise, and they go out, every kid, everybody want it. They're not just kid, but adults as well. Everybody want to be like Mike.
I'm gone.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody want to be like Mike. Everybody want to be like whomever, the latest, greatest preacher in the church. But there's no character. See? So through philosophy and vain deceit, not only that, after the tradition of men. See, traditions in church, traditions in our own personal lives. We always did things this way. That's how we're going to do it now. We don't take the time to research and read and study to know the truth. We just take the opinions of the world and what the world has to say about it, and we believe it. We take what TV says, the movies, the influences of the world, and we believe. Look at it, it says, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. How did they legalize abortion? See? The church fell in line with whoever promoted it. And the thing about the abortion, how it became a law, is really, if we do our research and you know, you'll see where this young girl they got and they convinced her. See, they feed off of the feeble-minded or the young, those that's not versed or educated in their schemes. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. These are the rudiments of the world system. It's not after Christ. So they know how to take killing babies. I mean, the number one killer of minorities is abortion. You know how many millions of kids are killed yearly? And we will say, we'll take a philosophy and say, well, we put the clinics there so this won't happen and that won't happen. But really, it's killing. It's eugenics. The founder of abortion clinics was a racist. She wanted to destroy blacks and minorities. And so then we sign off on these people and politicians that come up and say, oh, yeah, it's for your good. It's not. And they trick us into voting them in and doing all. And so here we are. We're signing off after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And this is why we have to be an informed people. You see, we have to know, we have to study to know the truth, not just what the world system relays and portrays. Let me see how much time we got. Okay,
I don't even think they trick us. They're getting bold. They just come out with it because they know
yes.
a lot of people don't understand what they believe and claim to believe.
Yes, ma'am.
So now they're coming out boldly telling you what they're going to do.
Well, in the past, you're right, Cynthia. In the past, Margaret Sanger said, this is her own words, Planned Parenthood lifts her up. And I say this not because I'm trying to be divisive, but we need to know, because if we don't know, we'll continue to walk. Christ said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But Sanger said, in order to get these abortion clinics in the black neighborhoods, we need some preachers who will promote it. And she went and got some preachers that sold themselves out, and they were the ones to promote it. This is why we embraced it.
Oh my God.
They had to trick us, right? So now, today, we still hold on because these promoters, see, a lot of these preachers that's talking about they're looking out for us and looking out for the minorities, they're not. They're getting paid. They get paid to promote what these people want. And then they destroy us because of a lack of knowledge, because of that we're not informed. So this is why we have to go outside of the sources. See, the rudiments of the world system is that they use the platforms, the TVs, the radios, all these sources to get us and help and cause us not to see what the enemy is doing. And it's not after Christ. So verse 9, it says, for in him, what? Dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, and you are complete in him. We're complete in him. We're not complete in our government. We're not complete in our churches. Everything we need, everything the Christian needs, the satisfaction of every spiritual want is found in Christ, and it's made possible by Christ. We have to go to the door. We have to go and to God to get what we need. And if my life is held captive to his way, then I should walk in triumph. See that? My life should be, I should allow him to defeat me, if that makes sense. Because unlike the world system, when it defeats you, we become a slave and a bondage to it. But in Christ, he marches us in his triumphant procession. Y'all see that? So we begin, he walks us and say, look, y'all, I made captive lust. I took it under my captivity. I bound it. I delivered them from it. Now lust is in you. Triumph over lust. You triumph over us. Every sin and every way contrary to me. You triumph over Christ. Triumph over my desire to see and do things my way. That makes sense. That's what it means for it become captive to his way. And I'm going to read that in a minute. Let's jump down to let's jump down to verse 13. Cynthia, you have that one? Verse 13.
Yes, I have it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you read?
You want me to read?
Uh huh.
Oh, okay. And it reads, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses."
Now, notice what it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. We were dead spiritually. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
We were dead spiritually. There was nothing we could do to please God. Nothing. This is what makes it so powerful. God took a spiritually dead individual that was separated from him because of sin, because of selfishness, because of the fall. And what did he do? Has he quickened together with him? Look at that. Christ's death made us spiritually alive through the born-again experience. God was willing, while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do?
He died for us.
Amen. When we hated him, what did he do?
He loved us.
Amen. And we can't even love a person we disagree with. The world will paint people as vile and look in their past. You know, now they got this thing going with the founding fathers. They're going to the past, the founding fathers' past, or people of the past that had a great contribution to this nation. And we're saying, oh, they were racist. Oh, they did this. Oh, they did. And they may have. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us they did. They were sin, dead in sin. I don't know if they're racist or whatever, but whatever it was, they had some sin, right? But don't you know that John Newton, the writer of the hymn Amazing Grace, was a slave trader. He was on the boat with the slaves and what have you, and God Almighty touched him in the state that he was in and changed him. See, the world don't talk about that. Why? Because it gives God glory. See that? Has he quickened together with him, having forgiven. So don't dare let the world cause you to look in somebody's past and try to find fault, because guess what? We all were spiritually dead.
Amen.
So the enemy, this is a trick of the enemy to cause us to discredit what God did. When he established his nation, it was not established because of slaves. No, those men, 600 and something thousand men died fighting for to end slavery. Don't let the enemy put this stuff. See, you and I have to separate from this stuff that pours in lies. And I always say that the mainstream media is the biggest false prophet. What are they trying to do? We just read it in verse 8. They want, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, the rudiments of this world system, and not after Christ. They are trying to spoil us, trying to pull us away from that which brings us victory. Don't let people take you back to bondage. Don't let them try to bring up your past or bring up somebody else's past and try to make you feel like a victim, because the Bible declares that we are more than conquerors through who? Christ Jesus. Don't let them try to make you rely on a system or handouts. Why? He said you are complete in him. Everything you ever need is in Christ, not in a government, not in a system.
Amen.
So they do this to us to make us think about to rely on a system, because what? They want us to continue to support it, to believe in it. But Christ said, I've overcome that. I'm your source now. All right, and let's keep going, Cynthia. I think you stopped at 14.
I did. Okay. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Oh, my goodness. Look what the cross. See how the cross, it still plays a big role. And like you said earlier, y'all were saying, if we don't focus on what the cross, what it does, he quickened us together with him, made us alive spiritually. And then it says the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, this pertains to the law of Moses, which was God's standard of righteousness that man could not reach. So when the commandments were broken, God took those broken commandments and put it in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, right? And and so what happened was they put the lid on it, and the cherubim stood there over the broken commandments. It was a handwriting of ordinance that was against us. We broke the law. So when those cherubims looked, which was a picture of the throne of God in the presence of God, because the cherubim stood around the throne of God, when they looked down, they saw a broken law. Man could not keep God's commandment. But when the high priest would come in once a year and he would take the sacrifice of a lamb or animal, a bullock or what have you, and he would put that blood on the lid, the mercy seat, when those cherubims looked down, guess what they saw? The handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, it was taken out of the way, and he nailed it to his cross, and those angels saw the blood. See that? They saw the blood. It was cupped. That's what they saw. They didn't see the broken law, even though it was in the case. They saw the lid, which was the mercy seat. Christ's death brought God's mercy and grace. There was an ordinance against us. We should have been, the penalty was death. But Christ took it upon himself and nailed our sins to his cross. And now because we have newness of life, I can come forth without the sin. See, this is why I can't be all digging up people's past and talking about what they used to do. This is what the world, the media does. It makes you go into there and you looking, and there we go, oh, what, they did? Oh, but we forgot about what the cross can do, because while we were sinners, what did he do for us?
He died.
Cool. And if he died for us, he died for the world. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Any questions? I'm sorry. Y'all got me excited.
In heaven spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. 16. Let no man therefore
just stop right there. I'm sorry. Okay. Stop right there, please. This is where I want us to see, and I gotta find. I got my stuff scattered. But this is what I want us to see when I was talking about the triumphant procession of Christ. What that says here, and let me get it, give me a second. Okay. It says, in having spoiled principalities and powers, Satan and all of his henchmen were defeated at the cross by Christ atoning for all sin. Sin was the legal right Satan had to hold man in captivity. That's why Christ had to go to the cross and atone. So anybody that embraces or accepts Jesus Christ, their sins are atoned. So he says he has no more legal right to hold anyone in bondage, but it goes back to the individual. So daily, whenever I live this Christian life, I have to daily, the just shall live by faith. So the enemy wants me outside of faith in the cross. That's what he wanted for the disciples. That's why they scattered. So when they scattered, he had access. Remember the Lord said, Satan has asked to sift you, Peter, that he may, sift you as wheat. But I pray that your faith fail not. So it was faith. If his faith would get back in the right object, it would give him the power to overcome Satan and his schemes. So it says he made a show of them openly. What Jesus did at the cross was, in fact, in the face of the whole universe, triumphing over them in it. The triumph is complete, and it was all done for us, meaning we can walk in the power and perpetual victory due to the cross. Now, in the Greek, it says this. And this will probably be, let me see how much time we got. This will probably be the last one for tonight. Let me say this part, we're over. We out of time. What'd you say, Miss Neat?
I see your time going by fast.
Yes, ma'am. All right, let me say this right quick.
Did you want me to read 16?
No, no. I want to say what this says right here. In the Greek, in verse 15, the word triumphs over us, it means, it says, lead us in triumph. So it said Paul regarded himself as a signal trophy of God's victorious power in Christ. His almighty conqueror was leading him about through all the cities of the Greek and Roman world as an illustrious example of his power at once to subdue and to save. The foe of Christ was now the servant of Christ. The foe of Christ was now the servant. As to be led in triumph by man is the most miserable, so to be led in triumph by Christ is the most glorious lot that can befall any man. See that? So it says only our true triumphs are God's triumphs over us. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. The true triumph is not what's going on in the world and what I'm going to do about it. The true triumph is when I allow God to triumph over me, my emotions, my desires, my will, and my way. That's what God wants. He ain't concerned. He said in the life you're going to have tribulation. But what I want to triumph over and make you of good cheer, Paul, is when you allow me to be Lord over you. This is the biggest battle. See, we look at the Goliaths we see and face, but these Goliaths are only defeated when I allow God to have triumph over me. It says his defeats of us are our only true victories. We pray, Lord, heal me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, save me. And God said, I'm using those very things to get triumph over you, to defeat you. See that? Jacob wrestled with the Lord. What was God going at? He wanted defeat over Jacob's flesh. Jacob wanted the blessings of God, but he didn't want to be broken by God. See, the true victory is when God can be Lord over my life, when I lay down my way of looking at things, my opinions, my desires, when I can lay them down and let God be Lord over me, that's true victory. And on that note, I'm going to have to close.
And that's surrender also, right?
Say that again?
I said, and that's surrender.
Yes. Yes. And in that, when stuff happens in the world, you won't be shaken because, remember, you'll realize that God is over the world. God is over the circumstances. And what the only way to for me to overcome the world and the circumstances is to walk in his procession. Allow him, his defeat of me, to be my true victory.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. Somebody else had a comment.
I think about Luke 9:23 when he said we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily.
That's it.
And I think we talked about this before, but when I do believe when he's talking about taking up our cross daily, it's not about a burden, but it's about dying to self. Our cross is dying to self daily.
And you know what that, amen, and what that cross is also is when I die to self, like you said, I can then walk in the triumphs. That's the benefits that comes from the cross of Christ. That cross, the benefit, I can pick up the benefits when I'm a captive of his way and I walk in his triumph. Because that's where we can get the overcoming life where he said, be of good cheer.
Amen.
Amen. Very good point. Very good point. So we're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call. God is good, and I thank y'all for the comments you made, because anything we say, it can help somebody that will listen later to get a better understanding and add to the teaching. That's awesome. So for those that are online, just hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. But for those of you listening, we thank you for tuning in, and we pray that we've said some things that will bless you in your walk and allow God to be Lord over your life. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.